Amen. So, today, I got to get ready. God told me to put on this outfit. I said, God, I don't want to, like, wear men leggings to preach. And he said, no, I'm going to give you a message. It's the reason why I want you to be in fitness clothes. I said, okay. He said, I'm going to have you deal with the word that I've given you that we're continuing in from the level of spiritual fitness. So I'm a lay out the foundation of this message. So I started this journey a couple of years ago, just about 2 years now, I'm guessing, at close to 300 pounds. Now, I'm going to break some things down, and I'm going to give you a revelation. Starting with the scripture, casting off every weight and the sin that easily besets you. I know he was talking about spiritual weight, but physical weight being cast off isn't just as good. It really is. It helps. But I approached it from a spiritual perspective. I didn't approach losing weight from a physical perspective. I'd done that many times before, and I never got as small as I got without even going to the gym. I'm in the gym now, but that's been, what, 6 weeks? Here's my point. God began to break down to me that this is a spiritual thing and it needs to be dealt with spiritually, even when I was talking about just my weight. He said, you keep trying to physically lose weight, but the state of your spirit is still obese. So no matter what you do, you're going to put the weight back on. There's nothing you can do about it. You still see yourself as fat, you know. And I got an understanding even before when I had lost, when I went on that starvation diet in 2005, and lost 40 pounds in 3 months, but then every time I looked in the mirror, I still saw that something was wrong with me. And I understood for the first time how people can wind up anorexic. You know, I felt the spirit of it. No, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I felt the spirit of it. I understood the spirit of anorexia because I had lost all that weight. I was down to 220-something pounds, but I still looked in the mirror and I still saw that I was fat. I'm hoping I'm speaking to somebody, because I changed something physical without dealing with the emotional and the spiritual. Because the spiritual affects the emotional, and the emotional gets in place. I have people say to me, well, can we just forget about yesterday? Can we just look at the future and go forward? Yeah, I don't trust people who say that. Because if you don't deal with it, that's why they have a thing called closure. If you don't deal with the issues that got you where you are and get closure, meaning freedom, the church answer to that would be freedom from those thoughts, those feelings, those hurts, those pains, those issues. If you don't get closure or deliverance or healing from that, you will return to the cesspool in which you walked away from so free for a few months with strong attention. And Jesus is bringing me out, and then you're back again. I see it happen in the church all the time. People jump off the roofs and all kind of stuff behind us because they go forward in this hallelujah moment and they say, I'm free. And you are free, but then you still have to deal with the dirt in the house. You may have been bought out, but if you're planning to go back there and live, you need to go clean out the place. See, the Bible says when a demon is cast out, it roams around in dry places. Seeking no rest, it comes back to where it was, finds the place empty, goes and gets 7 more demons, and the last state of that house is worse than the first. That let's just go forward stuff is bullcrap. The demons come back. You have to not only let the house be clean, but it can't be found empty. Meaning something, new revelation, new way of life, new way of thinking, a whole new healing has to be there. So when the demons come back, the house is full of godly stuff after the bad stuff has been removed. If nothing else, the last year for me has been that. Okay, get the stuff out, but what are you putting in there so that when that stuff tries to come back, there's no vacancy?
Amen.
Listen, if I haven't lived that right in front of your face, but what God has shown me is, watch this, purification of heart requires practice an intense cleaning, changing, refocus. So here we're going to go. We're going to go real church right now. How do we get delivered? Well, you read your word, right? Pray. You read your word. Study the word of God. Sit in his presence. Right? That's it, right? Now you're looking at me like you don't want to answer the question now because you know I'm about to say something else. But your M words know that that's what you believe. You know that. Just know, just for the Lord. And you study the word and hallelujah. And he's, ooh, I felt it. Oh, he's going to make a way. 10 years later, here we still are. And God said something to me this morning. He said to me, how much studying and reading on losing weight did you do for the past 10 years? Reading it and knowing about it don't change squat. I knew every exercise and how it should be performed. It didn't help until I was able to then physically apply myself to what I learned and practice it and created a habit of eating a certain way and walking a certain way and accepting that the way I was eating, the things I was doing was only not helpful, harmful to me, but then substituted with something else. Come on in, push on in with this here now. So I had to decide that I won't take my baked potato, which I love, and load it with butter. So I had to figure out options. So I figured out once, and a lot of people don't notice, I surprise people when I tell them, but I tried it, and I was like, duh, olive oil. I put olive oil on my baked potato and the salt and pepper, and it tastes just like I have butter on it. To me, I don't know a difference. So I don't use regular butter. I use olive oil or vegan butter. Some of the stuff I started learning when I was watching Nelly make the cookies, for every egg, you use a couple of spoons of applesauce to replace the egg. And it was like, huh? That don't work. Well, it does. It tastes different, but your taste is only used to the fattening way of eating it because that's what you were trained to do. So saying I rebuke this weight, but still eating, duh. So I couldn't just rebuke it, which I've tried to do for 20 years. No, stay with me. I rebuked it. I got a trainer who I was paying $75 a session, 3 times a week, 4 weeks in a month. Do the math. I was paying his rent and car note to only be temporarily thin. Because the moment I stopped busting my hump like that and went back to what I knew to do, and the demons would come back with 7 more, then I would wind up where I was and then some. Because I haven't been changed on the inside. Saints, I did not develop spiritually. I did what I needed to do physically. And then gave God glory for what I was doing. No takers? I gave God glory for what I was doing. Wow. God said, how long are you going to be able to keep that up? Financially, this is not a good move. 400-something a month, do that by the year. Who's going to live like that? I'm so tired all the time. I have to get up and go to the gym. I got to come home. I'm sweaty. I got to go shower before I can go do everything else. I don't want to take that many showers. It's just too much. It was cutting into my life. It was cutting into my business. Many times you've been trying to reach me for meetings. I couldn't do it. Now I need to take a nap because I'm exhausted. Now I got to go make the stupid protein shake and drink the shake and eat every 3 hours and, you know, all of these routines that will, you're, come on now. That, you see, I'm helping you out. I could sell this as a diet program and probably get really rich, right? I did the weight I lost and what you see standing before you without exercise. I taught myself by what I learned and learned to follow to eat different. So, just different. I'm not saying better or worse. I'm saying different. Yes, I still had fries. I put them in the air fryer. Yes, I made burgers regularly, but I had the kind of burgers that I would eat, the vegan burgers. I did what I did for me, but that's not what did it. It was the change of what was in my spirit that did it. It was the way I began to look at myself and the way I saw myself that did it. I began to realize that I saw myself as obese no matter what I did. And it was a time I saw myself as poor no matter what I did. Or I saw myself as struggling no matter what I did. Or saw myself as trying to make a living no matter what I did. Or somebody need to listen to what I'm saying right now. And so no matter what I did and how hard I worked, I always returned to struggling to be. We need to clean house. So last week we talked about go in your own strength. Book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 13. We don't have to go back there today. We're not going to do all of that again. We talked about go in your own strength. He came to him. He said, you're a mighty man of valor. He said, I'm weak. I'm hiding in a wine press. What are you talking about? My family's poor. We're all poor. And if you really God and you have all these power and miracles, and God said, go. In the strength that you have. So that means do the best I can. And I sat with that. And I got a revelation this week. Go in the strength that you have don't mean go in your physical strength. It means go in the strength that you have available. I'll let you sit with that a minute. Isn't that the same thing? Did I just say the same thing? Go ahead, talk at me. Did I say the same thing? What's the difference? Okay, strength you have available comes from here. I'm gonna need a little bit more than that. Somebody else? Not trying to force yourself. That's an interesting take on it. Don't go in your strength you have. Go in the strength you have available. Yes, Lima.
It's like when you book the name, you have available
value, and you have a real value. The available value is all you think. That's an interesting approach. It. She put some money on it. I like that. She's like, look, that sounds, you say you're working something out there in the spirit. I like that. I'm glad I put that in front of you and it stumped you. Because you immediately thought when I said don't go in the strength that you have, but go in the strength you have available, you still pointed to yourself. Go to the strength that you have. Not the strength that you have, the strength that you have. Not the strength that you have, the strength that you have available. I can do all things. Go in the strength that you have, not in the strength that you perceive in yourself. Okay. It's a grander force. It's a grander power. The things at play here go deeper than what's in front of your face. You with me now? Okay. With that said, turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. If you're learning something so far, say amen.
Amen.
Good stuff. And I'm going to show you a spin on a verse that we've probably heard a million times that we never saw before. Ready? Six days after, I'm starting at verse 1, After this, Jesus took him, Peter and James, Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them to a high mountain by themselves, just the four of them. Jesus is getting ready to invite. Jesus has picked, he handpicked these few people and took them. Stay with me. He picked these people. He took them. And his appearance underwent a change in their presence, and his face shone clear and bright as the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Wow, I'm trying to figure out how his face became clear, like you could literally see through him. That's what it means, right? And behold, there appeared in front of them Moses and Elijah, by the way, who had been dead for centuries, who kept talking with him. And Peter began to speak and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good and delightful that we are here. Wow, the fact that you brought us here to see this is dope, Lord. If you approve, at least he had the sense to say that. At least he asked him his proof. We will put up three booths here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And while he was speaking, stop. Ready? Mighty move of God, correct? What's happening right now, right? And Jesus picked you to be a part of this move, right? Whatever that move may be, right? And all of a sudden, based on your perception and the goodness of this move, you start laying out the plan. This must be what God is doing. Has to be. Why would he have me here doing such and such if he didn't want to do such and such, and then I'm going to do the such and such, and he's going to fix such and such, and he's going to make such and such happen, and you know this is going to, right? Yeah. And it said, and while he was speaking, we're going to read the rest of it, God interrupts. Everything he said sounded nice. But he was making one big problem in his statement that I caught immediately. Listen, are you listening? He said, this is good. See, you standing there with Elijah and Moses. We're going to make a tabernacle for each one of you right here. Well, what do they want to do with the tabernacle? What are they going to make them for? Huh? To stay there and do what? Why would they build those? For what? What's the purpose of them? To worship. Thank you, Edwards. To worship. So guess what he just did? He just put Elijah and Moses on the same level as Jesus. He want to make a tabernacle for all three of them, and then we're going to worship all of y'all. Their focus is supposed to be on the Savior right now. Not what they see happening around the Savior or what they think the Savior's doing. See, come on, man. You're, I'm talking about spiritual fitness here. You need to get your ish together and listen to what I'm trying to say to you this morning. Usually God can't complete his blessing in your life because every time he show you a little something, you start reading into it and then trying to put the blessings on the same level with him and put them all in the same room and think that's the way it's supposed to go. And you ain't even hearing clear enough when God say, I'm interrupting you because I ain't tell you to do none of that. I'm just beginning to move. I'm allowing you to have an experience, and here you go dictating the way it should flow and think it's worship in the process. It's the reason why I'm following this verse with the verse from last week, because they said, let's take this stuff because God told them not to take it, but we're going to worship you with it, and we're going to bring an offering. And he snatched his throne from him as a result of that and relented that he had ever picked him. I'm trying to get us out of this spiritual immaturity of being so deep in spiritual that we start trying to reason for God. We don't let God finish cleaning out the mess in us that makes us do the old decisions anyway. So even when he does a new thing, you still try to relate it to what was. What they did was they saw three people standing together, and what they were used to, idolatry and worship of men, they immediately went back to that instead of seeing where that was supposed to go. Stuff has to be cleaned. The house has to be swept. But then it needs to be replaced with truth outside of ideologies. And while he was speaking, behold, a shining cloud composed of light overshadowed them, and a voice came from the cloud. Shut up, Peter. Nobody want to hear what you say. This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased, not you. Do what he says. Listen to him. When God is moving and things are happening and things are changing, no, I'm going to make sure I'm going to step back in front of the pulpit just so I can make sure you hear what I'm saying right here. How many of you haven't seen a move of God in a minute? You say, yeah, it hasn't been like a move. So everybody has seen a move of God recently. How many people have seen a move of God in their life recently? Okay, come on, Shell and Penny. You can't be both. You say, no, okay, thank you. All right. Shell, you didn't raise your hand for either one. We're small enough here for me to call you out. You got to pick one. You have seen a move of God recently or you have not? And it's a good question I'm picking on you. I'm going to tell you why. Because sometimes we get so caught up in reading to what God's doing, we miss the moves. Sometimes it's moving every day and you're so caught up in trying to make your assessment out of it that you don't see it. But here's my reason for asking this thing. Question. And making a statement. When you see the move of God, the first human reaction is excitement. And excitement makes you say stupid Peter things. Ooh, this is good. It must mean that. But that's the time to listen. That's the time to shut your opinion up. That's the time to shut up the way you think it's supposed to go and how you think it's supposed to go and what you think God must mean and what you think God must be saying. That's the time to shut it up. And this is what I'm learning this season of my life. Right there is the time for you to say, God, I'm excited. I got all kind of images in my mind. But let me listen to what you're saying. My logic, my belief, my common sense, everything I believe tells me based on what you just did, you must be doing this, and my reaction should be this. But what say you? And saints, I've learned to ask God all through the process. I love this. I think this is great. It looks like it should mean this. What say you? When I moved to Florida, God connected me with some people that were very connected, and I thought some great things were going to come out of the relationship, and God said to me quickly, that's not going to happen. I'm not working with them. But this is perfect. Not working with them. Matter of fact, I don't want you calling them anymore. But this, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Not even a text to say, hi, how you doing? No, nothing. Like when he said to me, I don't want you collecting that pandemic check. I don't want you collecting it anymore. Stop. And they just sent me a thing saying, oh, by the way, we got all this lined up for you. All we need you to do is send blah, 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 and we'll resume. I'm like, God, that's a lot. And didn't even question it. I was like, you already told me you don't want me there. So even though the flesh was like, ooh, that's not count. Don't even calculate. Stop calculating. Don't do it to yourself. Just don't do it to yourself. Stop. This is my son. He's the one I'm pleased with. You should be listening to him. Even in your prayer time, you should be listening to him. Now, I'm going to say that again. Even in your prayer time, you should be listening to him. God is not your I got needs, I got issues, you know what they are, I'm laying them down before you type thing. You should be listening to him because he's the one whose God is pleased with. You're only accepted through him. So you should be listening to him. Yeah. But I thought, but it seemed right to me. It seemed like the logical thing to do. Well, I didn't want people to look at me stupid. So, yeah, and all of this stuff from what we went through last week and from Judges and where we are today, it comes down right to this. Listen to him. Regardless of what's happening, you're going to respond out of what you already know and who you presently are. Saints, listen to me. I'm saying something right now. You're going to respond out of who you are and what you presently know. You're going to take the laws that you know, or the logic that you know, or the intellect that you have, or the opinion that you feel strong about, and you're going to form your judgments based on that. And that's not bad. You can't form it based on anything else. You only have to work with what you have. Correct? If you only have enough lumber to build a one-story building and materials, that's all you can build. But when you're standing with the Lord and the Lord appears before you and he transfigures into something, and then you see two prophets of old standing with him, that's the time that you're being introduced to something that's on the next level. In their mind, they took the next level and they related it to the present level. They pulled back instead of going forward. I've been like, ooh, I'm going to see like this all the time. What do I need to do? Where do I need to be in the spirit so that I can see when stuff like this is going down? Because obviously stuff's going on in the realm of the spirit that I just saw that for the first time. I've never seen it again. And you treat the things and the moves of God like goodie baskets or surprise packages that happen once in a while and don't happen again. When it could be a lifestyle. But because of who they were on the inside, they saw something supernatural and they immediately said, how can we make that work in the natural? We know, let's build 3 altars. Because that's what we do. What move of God has happened in your life or is happening in your life where God has opened the veil and begin to make a move to show you something and you immediately try to translate it back to what you were instead of seeing how it's supposed to take you forward? I've been guilty too. So, you know, when I preach, God checks me, I check you all. You know, it's like this, I get it, you get it. I'm like Pharrell, I'm snitching. God come at me, I'm like, they did it too. Well, my point is, are you feeling what I'm saying today? Yes. If it's reaching you, give God a hearty amen. Amen. So, listen to him. Listen to him. He is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Verse 6, when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were seized with alarm and struck with fear. Again, the voice of God is so strange to you that it scares you. That's a healing process. Saints, I'm talking about the house being clean. I'm talking about the house being swept. The fact that God speaks to you or gives you a direction or shows you something that's unusual or different, or you hear the voice of God, should not any longer be something that you are afraid of or scared about, or to the point that when you know a correction is coming, you shut down because you don't even want to hear it. Or move or change is taking place and you shut down because you don't want to hear it because you got your mind set on what it's supposed to be. I don't want to be afraid of the voice of God. I don't want to be stricken with fear and panic when I hear the voice of God. I want to be able to receive it well, and check. God checked me last week about something, and I was so heartbroken that for a whole day or so, I was just, out of sorts. And I shared that with you on the last week's message, and God was like, what the heck? Like, can we not go back through everything and every time you did this wrong? It was just a correction. Dude, you didn't kill nobody. You didn't fornicate or rob or steal or nothing. It was, I checked you about your mouth. Can we move on? Can we move on? You want to say, I'm so sorry for all the years. God said, can we stop, please? I'm cleaning your house. I'm giving you a revelation to take you to where I'm trying to take you, and you're still trying to build altars where I just checked you. You could look at somebody and say, this is deep. She said, it's good too. Listen, I'm here to bring the word of the Lord to set the captives free. Amen. It's time for us to stop being church folk and be supernatural folk. Church folk belong in the church. Supernatural folk belong out there doing the supernatural. I'm tired of being a church folk. But Jesus came and touched him and said, get up and do not be afraid. And when they raised their eyes, they saw what? They saw what? No one but him. Did you get it? Did you catch it? Did you see from what I said before where it was going? Right, because when you get off in all this other stuff that God ain't calling you to, there ain't nothing to follow that but fear. But when you get your focus back, you see who you're supposed to see, just Jesus. Amen. Not the other two that you were trying to build shrines to. You're only supposed to see him. And once they fell on their face and got out of themselves, they were touched by the Master. And when they looked up, it was only the Master. And I'm asking you in this season and time of your life to come out of yourself and look up and just see the Master. Because he's the one, the beloved son. Do what he says. But I thought, but it seemed to me, but I felt, who cares? Who cares? And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were going down the mountain, Jesus cautioned and commanded them, do not mention this to anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Well, I don't know if they kept that. The Bible doesn't show that they ratted it out like they did everything else that Jesus told them, don't go say. A lot of the people just ran saying it. But I'm going to make another point, okay? So, yes, I'm making a lot of points today, so just catch these and go read them over or else forget them. That's going to be your problem. Experience at the mountain. Saw Jesus transfigured. They immediately tried to take it to what they knew. God jumps in and corrects them. They fall on their face in panic. Jesus comes and touches them and rebukes the fear. Do not be afraid. And I think you need to understand that. When Jesus came and touched them and said, do not be afraid, that wasn't Jesus saying, don't be afraid, baby. It's okay. It's all right. Don't worry. No, don't worry. It's good. No, when Jesus comes and put his hand on you and say, do not be afraid, that's a prayer of authority. That's a spoken word. Fear, go. You could translate that as Jesus saying, fear, I rebuke you. Release them. Fear, go. If Jesus says it, that's what's going to happen, right? That wasn't a word of encouragement. It was a word of authority. Come out of fear. And they looked up and they saw Jesus. You ready? What a mighty situation just happened here. Come on now. Come, I need you to come and really picture this in your mind. I don't want you to just read the story and you're like, oh, that's a nice story. I need you to put yourself in their place and at that moment and what you would have felt if you saw that happen and you walking with Jesus and he transfigures in front of you and he's invisible and you can see through him and all kind of great stuff is happening and then you see two dead people standing there talking to him. Oh, come on, this is some crazy stuff. This ain't no everyday stuff. This is some crazy stuff. This is some deep, 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 deep stuff is going on right now. And they get all excited and not only did they see, watch this, the light shine on Jesus. Jesus become invisible, turn bright light. All of a sudden, dead men are standing there talking to prophets from the past. They see that. They say, oh, my God, let's do a good thing. Let's go do something earthly. And then God speaks through the cloud and rebukes them. This is a lot. They all happen that way. This is a lot of deep spiritual stuff happening to somebody in a moment. I just want to speak to you right now for your little spiritual things that you go through, because they just went through a lot. But I just want to talk to you about your little spiritual. You know, I looked at my bank account and there was an extra $100 in there, moments, right? Whatever it is that you have that you want to talk about, okay? Sometime after God shows you something like this, he'll say, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell nobody. Yeah, just keep your mouth shut. Why you got to go, oh, and the Lord moved. Just shut up for a minute. And let me tell you what God showed me. Can you just be quiet a minute? You ain't seen no sky open up and God come down and speak to you and Jesus transfigured. He just told you, just showed you a little thing, and then you can feel you got to go run your mouth because you feel super spiritual now. You want to let people just know how spiritual you are and tell them what God told you. And God ain't told you to tell nobody that. So I just want to say, just based on what I'm reading, there's a shut up anointing. There's a keep your mouth shut anointing. Now, in that, you give other people the opportunity to handle your stuff and dirty your stuff. That's why he said keep your mouth shut. Because they get to give you their opinion and their conclusion and what they believe about it, and before you know it, you don't even believe it anymore. You don't let everybody else mess with it. So sometimes it's just good to just keep your mouth shut. Don't tell everybody what you heard and seen. Wait on it. Wait with it. Amen. Sherry and I just had an experience. Well, it's an ongoing experience, but when she was going back and forth, should I live with my mother, should I not? Should I live with my mother, should I not? And she knows I'll share this, so. And if she don't, you know it now. And anyway, so when she called me about it, the final time was coming, she needed to make the decision. I didn't feel led to give her a word. I felt led to tell her to get one. Go before daddy. So remember when you had to do the surgery? I said, go before daddy and find out where your faith is and stop functioning on what other people, you think other people might think or what you should think, and go find out what you're getting, what he's saying. She came back, she said, I think I should go. I said, okay. That's where your heart is? Yeah. That's where my heart is. Not because you said it, because my spirit bore witness with her decision, felt right about it. Now, she's up here all this time figuring out what she needs to do next with her modeling career. Well, she goes down there to this little smaller, not New York town, and said, well, look for stuff. She looked up this modeling agency, which is a prominent modeling agency down there, and she walks into the place. And they, you know, they train you, help you get your portfolio together. You know, they charge you money for this and money for that. You know, the way those agencies do. And she pulled out her stuff, and they was like, here's a contract. You don't need no training. We want to get you work. Amen. Just like that. I spoke to the owner of the company on the phone, on the business score, to go over this contract. That's listening and hearing him even when it don't make sense to you. Yeah, here, there's everybody. There, she's a Jew. What? You got articles and stuff. You already established. The awesomeness of the contract is, when I spoke to the lady, I said, I'm going to make sure I understand what this is saying. You only have say-so and authorization of a career in North and South Carolina? Yeah. Good deal. That means anything we do outside of there, they don't get none of. So that's a platform to go to the next level so that we can use that to go to the next level, like we took the stuff we've already done with her to get her to this level. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. Your little stupid plans, or you're hanging on to what he once did that you're trying to make him keep doing? Well, let's just build some tabernacles. He ain't asking you to build tabernacles no more. You did that already. How many years do you think God want to keep building tabernacles with you? He already proved that you know how to do that. He met you when you didn't know how to make it. You didn't know what a stick was from a ruler. But now he taught you that and you build the tabernacles. What makes you think that he wants you to continue doing that for the next 50 years? Well, that's my skill set. You saw my interview? You like it? We've gotten good response as a result of that, including business. I want you to know that just a little bit, about 2 years ago, I didn't even know what DEI was. To have somebody on a network show interviewing me, talking about here he is, the DEI expert. And tomorrow, if God decide I'm going to be an expert on jet combustion engines, then that's what I'll be. So I had to stop myself saying, well, let's build a DEI tabernacle. No, I had to catch myself. I'm like, who is money in this? We're going to do this. I'm going to speak. I'm going to have speaking engagements all over the world. God said, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're an employment agency. We're going to use that as a door to open the door for you as an employment agency. And as a result of that, we've become the premier DEI employment agency in Lehigh Valley. This is who we are. We weren't that before. We are now. And yes, we get checks, and nice checks, and regularly, all the time. Just because God said, do this. And when I started to try to build my tabernacle, I heard him say, hear ye him. Get your old ways and your opinions and your points of view on what you think I'm doing out the way and do what he says. So when he said them in Judges 15 to go and destroy that land and everything in it, don't decide that it may be better, God, if we did it this way. It works for me. Don't decide, because if you do, you will eat from that decision. And when you don't see the move of God complete what started, it was because you concluded. Yep. Let me say that one more time. If you don't see the move of God complete what he started, it's because you concluded. What he wanted to do with you and what you decided he was going to do with you limited how far it was going. You parked. You decided to nail at that altar and decided it was a good thing to worship God there and bring back the unclean thing and lay it there because you thought God would appreciate your efforts. But he appreciates obedience over sacrifice. Yes. Amen. Let's bring this home for today. And Jesus cautioned them, don't tell anybody what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. And the disciples asked him, then why do the scribes say Elijah must come first? And he replied, Elijah does come and will get everything restored and ready. But I tell you, Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him. But they did to him as they wanted. Also, the Son of Man will be treated and suffer at their hands. And then the disciples understood he was talking about John the Baptist. Elijah had already come. They were saying, but Elijah must come before the Messiah. So basically, he was saying, well, wait a minute. So then if the Lord is saying to me, hear ye him, and we want to make these things to worship all of you, But wait a minute, but Messiah must come. The Bible said Elijah would come first. I mean, or the word, the Torah said Elijah must come first. So basically what they were doing at this point was still questioning Jesus' authenticity. We don't do that, though. They were questioning the truth of what he said to the level in which he said it. Well, yeah, I know you've been saying all the time you're the Son of God. And then now we just heard God say it. This is my son, okay. So now we're conflicted because Elijah was supposed to come first, according to the law. And Jesus said, you're right, Elijah must come first. As a matter of fact, he already did, and you didn't see him. And then he clicked, oh, John the Baptist was Elijah. All the promises of God, I'm bringing it home, so just stay with me right here. You with me? All the promises of God are yea and amen. What he says he wants to do you with you and the plans he has for you, he means it. He's not thinking about it. He's not considering it. He's not wrestling with it. He means what he says. And there's situations in your life that God has promised you must happen, must come. And they have. But you don't see them, so you treat it however you feel like treating it. That's what he said. They handed him however they wanted. He did come, and they missed it. That's why the scripture tells you to be vigilant. You have to study to show yourself approved. And this is where I'm wrapping it up for today. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need discernment. But after you finish studying, are you listening? And showing yourself approved, then you got to go do the work. No sense of studying and learning a skill, and then you don't take it outside the classroom. So the church people who are caught up in studying, but they're never applying, you got a problem. You got to strengthen your stand and your faith, and that only comes by practicing or doing it or using it. And I'm going to wrap it on that because there's more to come, and I don't want to start concluding everything I have. But I need you to understand that you just got a couple of clear examples today. When God begins to show you what he's doing, pray not to take it back to what you already know. You have to let him clean the house and then refill it with the purpose. When God begins to do a mighty move in front of you and reveal things to you that you haven't seen before, do what he says, not what you think. And keep your mouth shut when he says keep your mouth shut. You don't need to go to everything you heard as you try to make people think how spiritual you are or how deep you are. Most of the time, you're going to make yourself look like a fool. 3, don't conclude the outcome of what God is doing based on what you understand so far. Allow God to make all things clear. I'm learning that every day I'm before God saying, God, this looks good. This seems right. It looks like it's going this way. Oh, this don't look so good. Oh, this is pretty bad. I don't think this is the way you want this. And I'm doing all that before God, but I will stop and say, but you are Almighty God. You are the Son whom God is pleased with. I will hear you. Never mind what I think. Never mind what I feel. I will hear you. That's the journey he has me on right now. I pray that you join me. Father, we come before you today and we thank you that we stay humble. And as you're working on our spiritual fitness and you're getting us together, we're getting the bad stuff out of our spiritual diets. And we're learning the root of who we are in you. It's awesome. We appreciate it. We love the process. We want more of it. Help us to be quiet. In this season, help us to be quiet and to hear you. Help us to listen to you and follow your instruction. Help us to be at peace with your direction, even if it doesn't make sense to us. And help us to know when to speak and when not to speak. We trust you for it already, and we believe we receive it. We receive it with wisdom and insight, understanding, knowledge of God, peace and prosperity and abundance. In Jesus' name, amen.